Guys, tonight it's my absolute privilege to introduce to you one of my heroes, one of the greatest men in the Christian world today, one of the greatest leaders. He and his wife, our son, our pastor, a very significant, influential church that's had explosive growth and revival, ongoing revival for many, many years. They see things like 3,000 people come to Christ over Easter most years. They're planting churches all around of Asia, specifically all in different areas. Their influence is quite phenomenal, both within church but also into the cultural area. Pastor Kong has a great connection with Pastor Phil and Chris, and has done for many years, has been coming to things like Presence and C3 Pastors Conferences for many years, and we've just had the privilege to watch and listen and learn. And how many people know it's possible to be mentored by somebody without actually ever meeting them? And you can be mentored by someone by listening to them, by reading their books, by observing and just noticing the way they carry themselves. And I love that Pastor Kong, in spite of his influence, in spite of the largeness, he is one of the most beautiful men to meet. He is a humble man of God. He loves Jesus, and through the ups and downs, and you know, if you thought your downs were quite challenging, don't start complaining to Pastor Kong. He's been through some very significant challenges over the last few years and still walking through those. But while he's doing that, he continues to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He continues to be a man of faith. And I want us tonight to stand on our feet and give a great Sunny Coast C3 Church welcome to Pastor Kong. Hey!
Come on, let's give it up for Jesus. Woo! Give the Lord a shout of triumph. Somebody go, woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to somebody on your left and right. Look at them eyeball to eyeball. Tell them, you're going to like the Chinese boy. Come on, just hand that right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Please be seated in the heavenly places. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you. Hallelujah. Wow. What an amazing night. To be honest, I didn't expect so many people to come. This place is packed out. And, you just had launch conference. Yeah. You must be tired out. No. How many of you appreciate the leadership of Pastor John and Danielle? Come on, let's give them a big clap. What great leaders. Woo! I had a wonderful time yesterday at C3 Oxford Falls, and it's been a while since I've been there, because usually the last few years I would come and just speak at the Presence. I've been speaking for Pastor Phil, with Pastor Phil, possibly now for almost the last 20 years. It's been a long time. And they were so pumped that I'm coming up to Queensland, and they're so pumped I'm coming to this church. So they kept saying, and in the green room, everywhere I met, are you going to John Pierce's place? Are you going to John Pierce's place? Are you going to, you know, I thought I'm going to see the second coming of Christ, you know, in the back room, they're all saying, he is the smartest guy in our movement. He is so brilliant. You know, he got everything in it. He's got encyclopedic mind, photographic memory. So I heard of his fame, but when I spend the day with him, I tell you, half is not told. Half is not told. Come on, let's give Pastor and wife a big clap one more time. Hallelujah. Well, I just got to say, it's a tremendous privilege to be a part of C3 as a friend, as an associate. Many years ago, I signed on the dotted line. I'm actually an associated church of C3. You know, I don't know, I still qualify for that or not, but you got to check with Simon, you know, and I think the document is somewhere in archives, in some warehouse. Yeah, Simon got me drunk, and in my drunken stupor, I signed it. And in fact, I think all my assets are transferred into his name. Yeah. So It's Pastor Phil has been a mentor to me, an elder brother to me, and both of us, we sit in Church Growth International, and we serve together. I see him so many times every year. In fact, in 3 weeks' time, he's coming to our church. The last 5 years, we've been through a very challenging time, and many of you heard about it. I'm going through a legal challenge right now, and it's very, very extremely, excruciatingly painful. So I've been in court for the last 2 weeks. Already, I've been in court for 98 days. Yeah, and I'll be in court for another 50 to 60 days. But by June this year, I'm very excited because finally the judge has said that by hook or by crook, the case, the trial has to end. So finally, I could see the finishing line. And this is the longest trial in Singapore history. Just to give you, how many of you heard years ago, there's a famous case, O.J. Simpson's case, right? He went for 130-something days. And I'm going to break his record. I was on the stand as a witness for 19 days. Now, just to give you some perspective, remember there's a South African athlete that rebelled legs, Pistorius, and he was in court for manslaughter, and he was in court for, I think, he was on the stand for 2 to 3 days. I was on the stand for 19 days. So in the midst of it all, God's grace is sufficient. But what I want to say is this, that City Harvest Church owe a debt to you guys, to C3, because Pastor Phil would come to City Harvest once every 2 to 3 weeks in the last few years, and just to stand with us and lift up our people. So I just want to thank you, and I want to thank C3. So on behalf of City Harvest Church, thank you guys for all that you have done for us. Amen. Amen. C3 rocks. Amen. Yeah. So many of you in leadership who are aware of my case, you've been praying for us. So I thought I'd just show you a video clip of our church. Now, this is our church after being in this very difficult time. This is 4 years into the entire ordeal. And this is a year in review. So you see us from January 2014 to December 2014. And then when the Pope comes on, Pastor Phil comes on, you give him a big clap, right? So let's watch the video right now. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a big hand. So that is the most persecuted church in the world. But Jesus reigns, amen. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you tonight. In the remaining time that we have, I just pray that you speak to us, to this amazing congregation of church members and leaders and pastors from different congregations. And Lord, especially the destiny that you have for them here in the great country, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit, Australia. Father, I just pray, let there be an impartation of faith that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen, amen, amen. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, we find that in the beginning, after God created the heavens and the earth, everything was like a watery grave. Everything was in a mess. There was confusion everywhere. But in the midst of it all, the Holy Spirit was there. The Holy Spirit, in fact, the Bible says he was fluttering like a dove. The original text says he was brooding. He was giving birth to something. The Holy Spirit wanted to birth light in the midst of darkness, life in the midst of death. He wanted to bring forth order in the midst of chaos. Now, when we come to Acts chapter 1, we find a similar thing. Here, the disciples were very discouraged. They were in darkness. Why? Because Jesus Christ, their leader, is not going to be around. He has died, he's risen, he's going back to heaven. Who is going to lead them into their destiny? Who's going to lead them in the future? Just days earlier, they crucified him on the cross. They felt small. They felt persecuted. There's hostility everywhere. But Jesus Christ told them, wait for the Holy Spirit. on the day of Pentecost, he came. But this time, not to birth forth creation, but to bring forth the new creation in us. The Holy Spirit came. And one of the most dramatic turnarounds was Simon Peter. 50 days earlier, he was so fearful, afraid, denied Jesus 3 times. Now filled with the Holy Spirit, he preached, and 3,000 were added that day. Another day, 5,000 came to the kingdom of God. Thousands upon thousands were added until Christianity was transforming the mighty Roman Empire. And that's why I believe in church growth. Every big church starts from a small congregation. I believe that this church here is slated for amazing growth. Oh, come on, give the Lord a big clap. You believe that. And you know what, Pastor? Already people are prophesying. In Sydney, they're saying, you guys are going to rock this place. You guys are going to build one of the most awesome C3 churches, if not one of the greatest churches in the world. But what's the key? You got to have the Holy Spirit. That's the key. When I was a little boy, less than 3% of Singapore's population were Christians. If you become a believer, you have rejected your Asian roots and embraced a white man's religion. In fact, when I was a little boy, if you get saved, our parents would put up full-page newspaper advertisement to say, henceforth, we cut off all relationship, we disown you. It was really difficult. When I became a pastor, I told God, I said, God, help me change the situation here. Let's make Singapore a nation that's open to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have one revelation. We are not going to be an evangelistic church. We are going to be a soul-winning church. You know, there's a difference. An evangelistic church depends on the evangelist to do the job. But a soul-winning church have this revelation. Every one of us is going to win souls for Jesus. Oh, go ahead and give the Lord a big hand. So we slowly grew. At first, it was challenging. It was difficult. For many years, we have zero growth. And all of a sudden, we see 20 people coming to Christ every week, 50 people coming to Christ every week, 100 people coming to Christ every week, 200, 300. By 2009, we have 400 decisions every single weekend. 400 decisions. Oh, go ahead and give God praise. Hallelujah. 300 out of 400, three quarter are first time, first church, first pastor decisions for Jesus Christ. I'm the only pastor they have ever known. Christian population began to change, and we begin to inch all the way up to 18% officially. But today, it feels more like a quarter, 25% are Christians in Singapore. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a big clap. God gave us a great facility. He gave us a convention center that was voted last year as the number one convention center in the whole world. 1 million square feet, 3,500 car parking space. You know, and amazing. I mean, the number one convention center in the world, and it's partly owned by Christians. Yeah. All things are possible. All things are possible. If you can see it, you can have it. But who's the key? The key is the Holy Spirit. No matter what you're going through today, you got to welcome the Holy Spirit into your situation, into your life, into your world. And I know that this C3 church here, right now, is a Holy Ghost church. Yeah? You guys just have Mike Connor. Yeah, Phil Pringle. Yeah? Now, the last 2 years, as I go through my challenges, I have a new paradigm shift. I have a new understanding of how the Holy Spirit works. And so I want to share with you, I want to impart to you what I have received from the Lord. Yeah? Because how many of you know that we do not go by information, we go by revelation, right? When we say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome, how do we welcome it? I know we sing about it. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. So we welcome him to our worship. We welcome him to our band. We welcome him to our home. We welcome him to our business. But do you know something? The Holy Spirit is everywhere. He's there already even before you welcome him. You can welcome him to a place, he's already there. And I begin to realize there are four areas that unless we intentionally welcome the Holy Spirit, he's not going to come in, because that is within the realm of our free will and our territory. And unless we say, Spirit of God, we on purpose intentionally welcome you, he will not be able to touch us and transform our world. Now, go with me to Acts 2, verse 1 to 3, and let's start from here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set upon them. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, now notice the first place he touched was their head. It came as tongues of fire on their head. You got to welcome the Holy Spirit into your thoughts. You got to welcome him into your thinking. I've been a Christian now for 40 years. I've been in full-time ministry for 30 years. And I realized one thing. Your life will never get better with time. Some people say, you know what? Don't worry. In time, things will get better. Your life will never get better with time. Your life will only change the moment your thinking changes. Yeah? I realized that the greatest prison is not made of steel and mortar, but the greatest prison is between the 2 ears on your head, over here in your mind. The Holy Spirit wants to bring hope into your mind before he could transform your life. Without hope, there is no sense of purpose for living. Without hope, death was set in. About maybe 20, 30 years ago, American scientists did a simple experiment. They call it the hope experiment. What they did was that they took a basin of water and they put in rats to see how long the rats would struggle to survive. They took those rats in a basin of water, put it in a dark room, and they found in less than 3 minutes, when the rats were in darkness, in less than 3 minutes, they gave up and they drowned. They took another basin of rats and put it in a room filled with lights. The rats survived for 3 days, 1,400 times longer. Now, why? Because when there is light, there is vision. When you have a vision, you could see your future. When you could see your future, there's a hope for living. Oh, come on, somebody, give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. So hope is vital. The Holy Spirit wants to bring hope into our mind, into our minds. When I was a little boy, my dad used to take me to circuses. I love circuses. And one thing about Asian circuses, they always have elephants. You know, I like elephants. They're powerful, they're huge, and Asian elephants are big. But one of the things I couldn't figure out as a little boy was how could a 10,000 kilogram elephant be tied to a small little 18-inch stick? I mean, it's ridiculous, right? The elephant would just give a kick, the stick would fly, it would just escape. But the elephants would not try. And I couldn't figure out. Until one day I realized this. When those elephants were just tiny baby elephants, they were already tied to the stake. And as baby elephants, they have no strength. So they would try once, twice, 100 times, 1,000 times. And they would think to themselves, what's the use? I will never break free. I will never get my freedom. And they give up. They give up. The question here tonight is, have we driven mental stakes of hopelessness in our minds, and we say it's too difficult, it cannot be done, it is impossible? You know, I mean, hope is such an important thing, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to bring. He wants to cleanse our mind. You know, for 100 years, athletes been trying to break the 4-minute mile. You heard of the 4-minute mile, right? They tried to run the mile under 4 minutes. They tried for 100 years. They try everything. They try to drink tiger's milk. I mean, how do you get tiger's milk? How does tiger's milk look like? They try every possible way until doctors and scientists said it's humanly impossible. It cannot be done. They said if you inch towards a 4-minute mile, your heart would fail, your skeletal system would disintegrate, you would die. Until 1954, England's Roger Bannister became the first man to run the mile under 4 minutes in the Commonwealth game. And immediately after that, in the next 2 years, 127 athletes broke the 4-minute mile. 100 years, no one could do it. All of a sudden, everyone was doing it. Today, even a high school kid, an 18-year-old boy, could run the mile under 4 minutes. Why? A mental barrier is broken. A mental barrier is broken. Come on, give the Lord a big clap. Hallelujah. Amen. That is why Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, as a man thinks, as a woman thinks, so is he, so is she. We become what our mind focuses on. So every single day, I invite the Holy Spirit, not just to my church, not just to my house, not just to my room. I invite Him to my mind and say, Holy Spirit, cleanse every thought that is not in line with Your Word. Cleanse every thought that is not in line with what the Bible says. Take away every angry thought. Take away every hateful thought. Take away every fearful thought. If we want our minds to be filled with hope, we got to let it be captivated by the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is called the Logos. Everybody say Logos. Logos. Logos means collective thought, the collective thinking of God. So if I want to know what God thinks about my marriage, what God thinks about my business, my finances, my ministry, my family, my health, I just don't go to what the philosophers would say or what the friends would say or what some television host would say. I go to the Word. I go to the Word. So I say, Holy Spirit, help me to remember the Word. Help me to remember Your Word. Inspire me with the Word of God. So the first thing I do, I welcome the Holy Spirit into my thinking. Now, the second thing is, you got to welcome the Holy Spirit into your visions and your dreams. Look what happened on the day of Pentecost. Our text is Acts chapter 2 tonight, right? After He touched their head, He gave them visions and dreams. Acts 2:17, your young man shall see visions, your old man shall dream dreams. In other words, young or old, God wants us to turn on our dream machine. God wants us to switch on that imagination that is sanctified and see what He wants us to see. Our imagination is extremely, extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Now, let me say this. The Holy Spirit can do anything, right? The Holy Spirit is God. But He struggles to put God's vision into our being. And God has chosen such that He couldn't let His kingdom come, His will be done here on earth, here in Sunshine Coast, here in Noosa, here in Australia, except people like you and I would carry the vision and run with it. He's all powerful, but He struggles every single day to help us to see what the future and the destiny He has for us. And the Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. Visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. You know, everything I've seen, the number of souls that got saved, the building that we had, or we have, and the work that God is doing for us, everything came about through visions and dreams. How many of you want to dream bigger dreams and see greater visions? Put up your hands. If you really want to, wave both your hands. Look like twice as many people. Hallelujah. Help me in my visions. But one of the things you got to know, the bigger your vision, the more difficulty you're going to have. The greater your dream, the more your hardship. I mean, Joseph was just number 11 in a family of 12 boys. He was a happy-go-lucky guy. Until one day he came back home and said, hey, guys, guess what? I have some visions and dreams. God is going to elevate me. I'm going to be a world shaker, a history maker. And one of these days, I think you guys are going to submit to me. That's it. That day, he went from the home to the pit to the prison. His life was great until he had some visions and dreams. And that is why, again, you got to have the Holy Spirit to help you through life's vision. My pastor, and for that effect, Dr. Fields, or Pastor Fields' pastor, is Dr. Cho. Dr. Yonggi Cho, pastor of the world's largest church. Now, when Dr. Cho was starting his church, he was in revival. Now, this church building, Solomon's Church, this is about 50 years ago. That's a long time ago. In the early 1960s. He was growing, had 10,000 people. It's a small building. Can sit about 1,200 on a weekend. So he would have multiple services from morning to evening. And he was praying, and God gave him a vision. Cho, you got to have a bigger sanctuary. And by faith, he felt God wanted him at that point in time in the 1960s to build the world's largest sanctuary, a 10,000-seater hall. When he prayed, God spoke to him, go to Yoido Island. And by faith, he bought a piece of land. Now, Yoido Island, just to let you know, this would be the Korean CBD today in Seoul, their CBD. The presidential palace is here now. The parliament house is here. All the banks are here. But 50 years ago, it was just a wasteland. It was just a deserted land, an empty runway for American Air Force to land their planes. By faith, he went there. There's no drinking water. There's no electricity. There's no residence, no home, no house, no nothing. And he just bought a piece of land and started building. And then trouble hit. In the 1960s, you have the Middle East oil crisis. Yeah? All of a sudden, the Korean won, the Korean dollar, plummeted. It became worthless. Building costs started to skyrocket. It went higher and higher and higher. And the Korean economy was close to collapse. Banks were shut down. Thousands upon thousands of people were laid off. And when people are out of job, I mean, it will affect the church. The members have no job, so their tithes and their offerings begin to decrease. The entire church was swimming in an ocean of debts. Dr. Cho put up a great building, but was not able to complete it. His elders came to him and rebuked him and said, Cho, you're so irresponsible. You got all of us into this big trouble because of your visions and dreams. Look, we're all going to die. We're all going to be bankrupt because of you. You are reckless. You have been a disgrace and a terrible pastor to us. Oh, Cho was so discouraged. He went to the building, looked at all the steel structures, and he thought to himself, this is it. I'm a national disgrace. My life is over. My ministry is over. I will never get out of this mess. Now, 50 years ago, there was no concept in the Korean churches that Christians shouldn't commit suicide. So right after Cho toured the building, he went back to his flat. He lived in a high-rise flat. And he went to the balcony and he said, God, I'm just going to jump. And I'm just going to go to the bosom of Jesus. Life is too hard. I'm sorry. I've disgraced you. I brought shame to you. I will never get out of this mess. I'm going to end my life. So he's going to count to three and jump. So he counted. One, two. Just when he was about to jump, out of a sudden, now remember he's in a high-rise flat, there came a swarm of bees, bzzz, out of nowhere and started attacking him. Stung his face, his nose, his ears. Some of them turned to get into his mouth. It's like, man, these are killer bees. He was in pain and he started shooing them away and found himself going backwards away from the balcony. And the Lord said to him and said, Cho, you better not jump. Your life is not over yet. And thank God. The moment Dr. Cho said, "All right, God, I'm not going to die," the bee suddenly disappeared. Wow, thank God Dr. Cho didn't jump, or church history would have been different, amen? So he, from that day, and I just thought of something, so it's okay, never mind. So he didn't jump. A group of intercessors from his church, some ladies came to him and said, "Pastor, we got to pray." Dr. Cho thought to himself, he said, "Ladies, what's the point of praying? I mean, when we pray, can God write a check and send it down from heaven?" So the ladies look at him and say, "Pastor, what are you talking about? You taught us to pray. You say if we pray, God will perform miracles." So this is sometimes, you know what, when your pastors are discouraged, you in the church, you have a responsibility to lift him up, right? So Dr. Cho was dragged to the prayer meeting. And soon that 200 ladies that were meeting nightly to pray grew to about 2,000. And so they were praying and praying for a miracle. One night, as he was praying, as he was leading a prayer, Dr. Cho felt somebody pulling his pants. He turned back, and it was an 80-year-old grandmother. She was the poorest woman in church. Her husband and two sons had died in the Korean War. She was living on government welfare and subsidy. She said, "Pastor, please give me 5 minutes. I need to speak to the people." Dr. Cho said, "Grandmother, you can't. I'm leading the prayer meeting." And she said, "Pastor, please give me 5 minutes. I will not go beyond 5 minutes." Dr. Cho said, "Lady, please. You know, you're disturbing the service." But she kept screaming louder and louder. So Dr. Cho said, "All right, 5 minutes, and I'm going to take the microphone away." She stood behind the pulpit, took out her plastic bag, and took out what looked like something wrapped in old newspapers. He opened up the old newspapers, and there was a bowl and two chopsticks. And she said, "Brothers and sisters in the church, I got saved because of pastor's ministry. I learned the word of God because of the teaching of the Bible from pastor. I love pastor. But look at our pastor right now. He's dying on the inside. We can't sit here and do nothing. See, you know, I'm so poor. I'm a widow. I have nothing. All I have in the whole wide world is this bowl and two chopsticks. I want to give this to the church. Maybe this will help the church to complete the building. From now on, I will eat from cardboard and my two fingers." Dr. Cho said, "No, Grandma, I can't take that away from you. That's the only possession you have." She got upset. She said, "Dr. Cho, you look down on the old grandmother's gift?" So Dr. Cho said, no, I take it." He was crying. The old lady was crying. The congregation was crying. And then the Holy Spirit began to work. Suddenly, somebody stood up from the back, a businessman, said, "Pastor, I'll pay $10,000 for that bowl." Somebody stood up and said, "I'll give $20,000. Someone stood up and said, "I'll give $30,000. One man stood up and said, "I live in a house. I'm going to sell my house and my land, live in a flat, and give the money to the church." A young couple stood up and they said, "We just got married. We will pledge 4 years of our salaries to the house of God, and we'll live by faith from now on." That night, in that 2,000 people prayer meeting, they raised $2 million. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a big hand. Now, you got to remember and put that in perspective. That was 50 years ago, in the midst of a global economic recession. With that $2 million, they were able to complete the building. And in 1973, they have the dedication service, and Billy Graham came. Now, the building is right at the top of the screen, and they had 1 million people at the plaza. Now, this is the Korean CBD, but you could see it's empty. There's nothing there. Today, next to the church, you have the National Assembly, the Parliament House, and then you have all the rest of the stuff. But at that time, it's all by faith. Thousands of pastors came, and they congratulated Dr. Cho. They shook his hands, and they said, "Pastor, we knew all along you're going to make it. We knew all along that you are a success. We were behind you even when you couldn't see us. We were supporting you from a distance. Dr. Cho said, yeah, right, yeah, you know, I may be young, but I'm not born yesterday. And Dr. Cho said this, the miracle happened not because God sent a millionaire, but God sent an 80-year-old grandmother. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, give the Lord a big hand. Hallelujah. Woo! I want you to listen to what he said. That was an unforgettable experience in my life. People say we are poor. We have nothing to give. That's a lie. If you do the best you can, and then what you cannot do, God will take charge of. Only through prayer can this be done. The first opening service, Yoido Full Gospel Church, had 18,000 in attendance. Soon it grew to 250,000. And there are 500,000 members. And then 800,000 members. And Dr. Cho built the world's largest church in history. Can we give God a big hand? Hallelujah. Come on, you want to clap? Give the Lord a big clap tonight. Friends, I'm here to tell you, the Holy Spirit is not going to let you down. The Holy Spirit is not going to break any of His promises He has made to you. The Spirit of God doesn't know how to fail. Maybe some of you here have a broken dream. You are full of ambition and aspiration, and life came to you like a ton of bricks, and you came to a head-to-head collision with life. And kaboom, your dream's broken. The Holy Spirit can take every shattered piece and turn it around. If God can raise Christ from the dead, He can raise any broken dream from the dead. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you here tonight, you have a buried vision. Yeah? Maybe it's not broken, but it's buried because you're so afraid of what people would say. Or maybe somebody, as good an intention as the person may have said something to discourage you, and you bury it deeper and deeper until it's so deep you can't even think of it or see it anymore. Tonight, God wants you to resurrect that buried dream, that buried vision. Maybe some of you here tonight are living on a borrowed vision. You saw somebody doing this, it worked for them. Somebody's doing this, it worked for them. Somebody's doing this, it worked for them. He said, I can borrow that. I can take that. But how many of you know God made you you? You are unique. You don't have to live on a borrowed vision. God has a vision tailor-made, custom-made, just for you. So what do I do every single day? I come before the Holy Spirit. I say, Holy Spirit, please come and take away every wrong picture I'm seeing in my eyes. Every day, take away every wrong imagination, every imagination of fear, every imagination of hopelessness, every immoral imagination, unsanctified imagination. Take it all away and let me see only what you want me to see. When the Holy Spirit gives us a vision, you got to incubate it, right? Just like Genesis chapter 1, the Holy Spirit came to incubate on the earth. How do you incubate? You incubate your vision through prayer. So you pray, and you pray, and you pray some more until you know that you know that you know that God says, it is done. I have given you your prayer answers. But you keep on praying, and you don't stop praying. I've been praying for 5 years for my healing to come, my deliverance to come, my freedom to come. And I'm not giving up, because I know as I incubate that vision, it's going to come to pass. Oh, go ahead and give God praise. Hallelujah. Woo! So, the Holy Spirit, you got to welcome Him into your thoughts, welcome Him into your vision and dream. Number three, welcome Him into your believing. Now look, on the day of Pentecost, He touched the head, gave them visions and dreams. He went deeper and touched their hearts. And it had to do with their faith. You believe with your heart, right? And I tell you, sometimes it's hard to believe. Sometimes as leaders, as Christians, I mean, especially when you're faced with a challenge, you're sick in your body, and you read the Bible, and it says, by His stripes, you are healed. And you're struggling, with asthma. You're struggling with cancer. You're struggling with a heart disease. It's hard to believe. Sometimes when you have lived with poverty for so long and you read and you say, my God shall supply all your needs, it's hard to believe. Sometimes when you're going through a marriage situation and the Bible say, what God has put together, nothing shall cut us under, it's hard to believe. You know, sometimes when I cannot believe, let me say this, when you can't believe, God's not angry with you. God's not going to hit you with a 4x2 and say, oh, you man of little faith. When I couldn't believe, I cried out to God. I said, God, I choose to believe. To believe is a commitment. I make a decision. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of faith. He's called us. That's good news. That means when we have no faith, He came to supplement our weakness in faith, to give us faith that will move every mountain. Come on, give God a big hand. Hallelujah. Woo! Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Not some, not a few, not just the easy things, but all things are possible to him who believes. So I welcome the Holy Spirit to my heart. I say, help me. Help me, Holy Spirit, when I read the newspapers, when I read the social media, when I listen to the advice of the lawyers, or when I see the prosecutor, or when I hear what people are saying, oh God, I want to believe you. Help my unbelief. And then number four, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth must speak. You got to welcome the Holy Spirit into your speaking. Welcome Him into your speaking. Look, in Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit of God was hovering. He was waiting for something. He was waiting for what? For the word to be spoken. The moment God said, let there be light, creation began. Jesus says, this is one of my favorite verses, I'm sure it's yours too. He says, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22, 23, verse 23, assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, stop for a moment. There's a lot of words, a lot of sentences. Let me make it really simple for you. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is basically saying one thing. Whoever says, we'll have whatever he says. I mean, how much more simpler could that be? Whoever says can have whatever you say. And you receive not because you say not. You ask not. You gotta say it. Say it. But why are we so afraid to say, I'm healed. I'm blessed. I'm going to get out of this bankruptcy. My marriage will be saved. You know why we are afraid to say it? Because we are afraid. What if it never happened? And then we'll get disappointed. Now, it's one thing to get disappointed with your situation, but what if it never happens and I get disappointed with my God? Does that mean all my years of faith has been in vain? And we are so afraid. So we don't say it. We keep our mouth shut. When you welcome the Holy Spirit, this is what I do. I say, Holy Spirit, come. Come and cleanse my mouth. Cleanse my mouth for every angry word, bitter word, gossipy word, slandering word. Holy Spirit, come and take away every word of defeat and fear. Take it all away. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Now look. First, he touched the head. Gave them visions and dreams, went deeper and touched the heart, and then out the heart, he bubbled into tongues. You know why? Because he wants to purify their mouth. He wants to cleanse the words that they would say. All of a sudden, Simon Peter, the man of fear, spoke with such power. That is why you got to have a mouth that is sanctified. Holy Spirit, come. Don't just welcome him to your church, your building, your worship. Welcome into your mouth. Yeah. 2 years ago, I had a lady in my church who was 40 weeks pregnant. And on the 40th week, the baby in the womb had a complication. So the baby struggled. The baby pooped. Now, if you have been a mother before, you know that's dangerous, because when a baby poop in the womb, the baby could die and the mother could die. So they rushed her to the hospital to have an emergency C-section. But the doctor had a difficult time taking out the baby. The umbilical cord had gone around many rounds, and for 20 minutes, there was no oxygen to the brain. They did the MRI and found the baby to be certified brain damage. Brain damage. Both eyes blind. The baby, the doctor said, will not be able to speak when she grows up, but worst of all, from the neck down, she's paralyzed. So if you look at this photograph right now, now most babies, most newborns, when they are born, they curl up like typical fetuses, right? But when you see a baby like this, it means that she has no control of her faculties. She's paralyzed. The doctor told the family, "I'm sorry, go back home, prepare for the burial. The baby's gonna die." The family attended a Connect group, and I just preach on the power of your confession. You will have, Jesus says, whoever says will have what you say. So the Connect group, they started to pray. Every single day, they took turns, and they started praying, confessing, "Baby Avril, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. Avril, you're going to live. Avril, you're going to have life. Avril, you're going to wake up from your coma. Avril, you're going to be normal." They confess it 1,000 times, 5,000 times, 10,000 times. Now, the Connect group leader was a secretary, just a normal secretary, not a preacher, not an evangelist, not a prophetess. How many of you know God can use a normal secretary? Amen. She went to the ICU, the intensive care unit, had permission to go in, and for 1 hour, where no one else was around, she kept confessing, "God, I believe that just like Genesis chapter 1, Holy Spirit, as I speak the word, you will create new brain cells, create new eyes. Let Avril be able to speak. Oh, Holy Spirit, come and create new cells and in the limbs so that dexterity can come back to the body and there's no paralysis." For 1 hour, she kept speaking, creative miracle, creative miracle, and she went home. The next day, all of a sudden, baby Avril started to get better. By Wednesday, she was getting even better. The body started to curl. By Friday, the eyes came back. They did an MRI. No more brain damage. Both eyes. Oh, go ahead and give God a big clap. Hallelujah. Now, both eyes able to see very clearly. The doctor said, "I think when she grows up, she'll be able to speak normally." But most amazingly, no more paralysis. In 10 days, she was discharged, totally normal as a baby for the glory of God. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. Whoever say will have whatever you say. The last 2 years, this is what I've been doing every day. Many people say, "Kong, how do you manage to keep preaching, keep smiling, keep showing up?" Because every single day, I struggle with fear. I struggle with uncertainty. I struggle with hopelessness. But every day I say, "Holy Spirit, you come and cleanse my mind. Let me see your thoughts. Take away every angry thought. Take away every hopeless thought. Let me see how my future will be like. Let me see my family growing up, my child growing up in the fear of God. Let me see myself there with my church, with my people." And then I say, "Holy Spirit, I find it so hard to believe. Help my unbelief. I choose to believe in every scripture, in your word. And Holy Spirit, I speak, my healing will come. My deliverance will come. My money will come. My vindication will come." And I just keep on speaking and speaking and speaking. You know, just 6 months ago, I have this, my final story and I'll end. 6 months ago, I have a real challenge. I found myself, because I still have invitations coming in, and very often, this is how it went. I have an invitation. "Pastor, can you please come and minister in our conference?" I say, "Sure, if I'm delivered, I will come." "Pastor, are we going to do this?" "Oh, yeah, if I'm delivered, I will come."
Pastor, are we going to have this? If I'm delivered. So let's pray. If I'm delivered. And one day, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. God spoke to me. Why do you say if? Why can't you say when? I mean, how hard it is to say when. I mean, it's a one-syllable word, right? I mean, when and if. Why can't you say, do you know I struggle? It takes every fiber of faith to say when I'm delivered. Because what if I'm not? So I force myself, and I'm still forcing myself, when I'm delivered.
Revival is going to take on a new dimension.
Hallelujah! When I'm delivered. Oh, come on, let's give the Lord a big hand tonight. Hallelujah. Go ahead and give God praise. Give God praise. God is your church, it's your kingdom, it's your glory. We are just your people. Come on, give Him praise. Keep clapping, keep clapping. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Let's shout to God with a voice of triumph. Jesus! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you want to believe God for a miracle for your life, for your ministry? Hallelujah. Why don't we just take a minute right now? This is a Holy Ghost church. I can sense the presence of God. Why don't we just open our mouth and just pray in the Spirit? Let's just pray in the Spirit for 1 minute, shall we? Just open your mouth from the front to the back. Just lift up your hearts to Him. Just forget about people on your left and right. Just open your mouth and pray. Just pluck into God tonight. Hallelujah. 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 I want you to close your eyes right now. I want you to switch on the imagination that is sanctified by the Lord. Tonight, I want you to see, and when we close our natural eyes, our spiritual eyes open, I want you to see your future. I want you to see yourself happy, strong, healthy, no cancer, no heart disease. You're going to live a long, fruitful life serving God, together with your family. Tonight I want you to see your marriage blessed. You're so in love with your husband, with your wife, your sons and daughters growing up to be productive people for the kingdom of God. That wayward son is coming home. That wayward daughter at a dinner table praising God together. I want you to see your business blessed, your job. You have more than enough. Living in abundance. Your home's paid. Your car's paid. No more debt. I want you to see yourself moving in the power of God, healing the sick. Getting people saved. Being part of a church that's shaking the city and the nation. Why don't we just talk in tongues for a moment, shall we? Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya la karabahadiya. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya la karabahadiya. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiya. Let it be, let it be, let it be according to your word, according to your word. According to your word, O God. Shuduriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiriya la karabahadiriya. Hallelujah. All right, there's power in our confession. I want everybody from the front to the back, from the left to the right, tonight by faith. You know what? We are not trying to psych ourselves. We are not trying to self-talk our way out of a situation. When you speak the word of God, which is already anointed by the Spirit, your words become very powerful. So everybody say this out loud together. Say, in Jesus' name,
Jesus' name.
I am healed.
I am healed.
By his stripes I am healed.
By his stripes I am healed.
I am blessed.
I am blessed.
My healing will come.
My healing will come.
The money will come.
The money will come.
The deliverance will come.
The deliverance will come.
My marriage is blessed.
My marriage is blessed.
My business is blessed.
My business is blessed.
My church is blessed.
My church is blessed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm more than a conqueror.
I'm more than a conqueror.
Say, I can do all things.
I can do all things.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
Through Christ who strengthens me.
For the glory of God.
For the glory of God.
If you believe that, give the Lord a big clap tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hey.
Come on, somebody shout his praises tonight.
Yes.
Amazing. Come on, keep giving the Lord a great clap. Give him praise. We glorify you, Lord.
Oh, God.
Healing is in the house tonight. Deliverance is in the house tonight. Freedom is in the house tonight. Provision is in the house tonight. Salvation is in the house tonight. Enlargement is in the house tonight. Jesus Christ, restoration. We worship you. And everybody said, amen. Did that blow your mind or what? That is the most awesome preaching. Put your hands together for Pastor Colin Heath. Amazing preaching. So good. So good. You can grab your seat. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I had high expectations. That just was off the charts. Awesome. Come on, put your hands together one more time, Pastor Colin. Brilliant. Such great keys. I love the Holy Spirit. I love making room for Him. I love those practical thoughts. That's something that can just change your life. Make room for Him. But not in an ethereal way, but really to break that right down. So good. All things are possible for you, for your family. For our church, all things are possible. Enlargement happens. So good.